I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Tattoos and touchdowns. They love the game. I'm perturbed. Lyle Alzado, Matusak, and Hammond, Lambert.
Minister of Defense, Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, John Elway, You know, Jim Kelly.
It's football. Just give me my chance to, like, put a big leather helmet on like Al Bundy's.
You are listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns on warlikeradio.com.
Halfway through the season. God, doesn't that suck just to say it?
Well, this week is the halfway point.
Yeah, halfway point. This is actually trade deadline week.
Tuesday, yeah.
Tattoos and Touchdowns. Chris Espo with me as always, Will Sweeney.
Good morning.
And super producer Josie.
Good morning.
This sucks, man. I hate how fast the season goes.
Yeah, it does go extremely quickly, unfortunately. But when you think about it, I mean, it's 16 weeks. That's 4 months. Not counting preseason and postseason. Postseason is, what, another month?
Dude, Super Bowl's 99 days away.
I know.
You get that alert on your phone. I actually got that. Like, someone sent me a picture the other day of the 100 day until the Super Bowl. Yeah. I don't want to see this. Like, it's 100 days of happiness. It's all I have left. It's like a terminally ill patient.
we'll do what we can to keep you happy longer.
Yeah, well, it's like Breaking Bad. I'm so into Breaking Bad right now. Oh, I haven't watched any of it before. I stood away from all the spoilers.
Oh, and I'm great. It's a great
three and a
show.
Half seasons in,
yeah,
and I know it's coming to an end soon, just like the football season. So, good little analogy.
You watch it on Netflix?
Yeah, Netflix. Fantastic.
I love it.
If Netflix is listening, wink, wink, we could use a sponsor.
Yes.
Yeah, why not?
I got an email the other day that the non-tattooed community wants us to change our name.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
How about no tattoos and touchdowns?
Yeah.
Well, no, we have tattoos, so we could say that.
No tattoos nor touchdowns.
Nor touchdowns.
Right. It'll be a show about curling.
There you go.
Ooh. Yeah. You ever watch curling?
Yeah, it's fun.
It's like watching paint dry, though.
You know what? It's the best paint dry 2 hours I've ever spent. Anyway. All right, so a lot happened last week.
Yep.
Two of my prophecies semi came true.
Yeah.
I was right about the Indianapolis Colts handing Denver their first loss, and we'll get to the stats in a minute.
And you were actually pretty close with the score, too. That was disturbing.
Yeah, and I was pretty good with Eli Manning. I said the Giants were going to get their first win. Eli wasn't going to throw an interception. I was just off on his passing yards.
Right.
But other than that, big show. We're going to recap last week. We're going to talk about this week. And we have later on in the show, in the second hour, probably closer to the last 15 of the show, we have Donald Jones, former NFL wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills, calling in. He'll tell you about his story. He was diagnosed with kidney disease,
right,
and had to leave the NFL early. He was drafted in 2010, and he really couldn't gather a career because of what happened. So he's got a couple of charities that he's looking at, that he does, and a couple of foundations. So we'll be talking to him later.
And this will actually make you happy. I was looking at his career numbers, and I went down game by game because he only played 3 seasons in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But I went down game by game, and it seemed like he always had his best games against the Patriots.
That's fantastic. I'm a Donald Jones fan. Anybody who played against the Patriots and did well, I'm a fan.
There
so
you go.
Right now, I'm a Donald Jones fan. All right, so last week.
Last week. Well, let's start the reviews. We'll start off with Buffalo versus Miami. Buffalo edging out Miami 23-21. Thaddeus Lewis had a decent game. 21 of 32 for 202 yards and an interception. Well, you know. Ryan Tannehill, 19 of 37, 194 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
You never want to see Tannehill keep airing the ball out right now. They still need to generate that running game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know what the best part is? Ryan Tannehill didn't have any rushing stats. He's been a leading rusher for them the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and they lost, so there you go.
Right, well, there you go. Now, apparently, Ryan Tannehill doesn't need to run the ball, but Fred Jackson needs to run it a little more. as he had 11 rushes for 36 yards and a touchdown.
Well, Fred Jackson almost, it was scary in that game. Fred Jackson almost shattered his knee.
Yeah.
He tweaked his knee, but he went down like a sack of potatoes, and he wound up being out for a good quarter and a half.
Right. Right. Heading on over to the Dolphins rushing stats, really nothing to brag about. Daniel Thomas, 12 rushes for 60 yards. Lamar Miller, 9 rushes for 43 yards. Oh, I'm sorry, I was incorrect. Ryan Tannehill rushed for 5 yards on 3 attempts.
There you go. Good for you.
Sorry about that. Receiving stats, Steve Johnson, 6 grabs for 61 yards for the Bills. Fred Jackson caught 4 for 49. C.J. Spiller, 3 grabs for negative 4 yards. Good job. The Dolphins, Brian Hartline, 6 grabs for 69 yards.
Blame it on the Hartline.
There you go. Mike Wallace, 5 grabs for 76 yards. Brandon Gibson, 5 grabs, 40 yards, 2 touchdowns. And Charles Clay, Chris's favorite tight end in the league, 1 reception, 7 yards, and a touchdown.
Nothing better than a tight end. I'm usually looking for a girl with a skirt and pom-poms, though.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Especially Dolphins. Dolphins got some nice-looking cheerleaders.
Every cheerleading crew is nice. You show me one set of skanky cheerleaders.
There's no skanky ones, but just saying.
Except Oakland.
Some are prettier than others. Well, Oakland's...
They all have
scars and stuff. But we'll head on over to a game that I'm sure Chris is absolutely thrilled about. The Jets beat out the Patriots 30-27. Chris, I know you watched it.
Yeah, I watched... Again, and I don't watch... As much as I love my Jets, I don't watch one game, okay? We're going to talk about this one a little bit at length because it was something that was key in this, and then we'll fast-track through the rest. Jets played a fantastic game. That's as perfect as a game as they could have played against the New England Patriots.
Oh, they held Tom Brady to no touchdowns.
No touchdowns. He threw for under 200 yards, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he had 22 of 46 for 228 yards. No touchdowns and a pick.
Okay. Couldn't hold Gronkowski. Gronkowski, I think he had,
140 yards, I believe?
10 catches?
114 yards. 8 grabs, 114 yards.
That just shows that the Gronkowski factor for New England is going to be big as the season progresses. Overtime starts. Okay, I'm going to skip over to overtime. Jets get the ball. It's a 56-yard field goal. They go to kick the field goal. They miss. Penalty flag. Unsportsmanlike conduct. Basically, what happened was Rule 913, Article B of the NFL rulebook states that no defensive player on a field goal can or an extra point can physically take behind his own player and push the pile forward.
Okay, that's similar to the you can't use the down lineman as leverage to jump up in the air.
Exactly. Perfect example of that was 2003, in October of 2003. I think it was October 6th. Indianapolis Colts against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Indianapolis came back, way back. It was a comeback on a Monday night game. Tampa Bay goes to block a field goal. Simeon Rice is the one who blocked it, but he used his down lineman as leverage. He actually tried to leapfrog him to make the block.
Right.
Makes the block. They call it a penalty. They re-kick the field goal. Indianapolis wins the game.
Okay.
That's something basically with this. This is the first year it's been instituted. In really bad terms, you can't use your teammate as a choo-choo train. You can't be the caboose on a choo-choo train.
All right.
Okay? For people, again, and as much as we talk to the diehards, there are the Fairweather fans.
Right.
Okay? So basically, you can't start the conga line with the guy behind you, with the guy in front of you, and push him towards the pile. That's for player safety.
Okay.
Of course, the outcry of, and I'm sorry, you're not one of them, of angry Giant fans on my Facebook feed. This is bullshit. You shouldn't be able to win a game like this. You can't win. I said, listen, here is the issue that I'm having. I said, it's not so much, everybody else is hung up on the teams that were involved.
Right, exactly.
Okay? Separate the teams from the rule. If this happened in the first quarter, on an extra point, no one would say anything.
Exactly.
The fact that it was in overtime, in a divisional game, that put the Jets only one game out of first place.
There's a shock.
Big time. Big time. Because I only had them winning 5 games all season.
I had them winning 3. They got their 3 already.
They already have 4.
I know.
because it was the Jets and because it was in overtime and because it was almost a first-place divisional game, therein lies the issue with everybody. Get over it. If it would have happened to the Jets, yeah, I would have been pissed. But I, as a football reporter, I understand the rules of the game.
Right. Now, here's the thing I want to throw out, too. Any other team's fans could be as angry as they want to be that it happened in favor of the Jets. But the bottom line is this. If it happened in favor of your team, you would have nothing to say.
No.
And that's exactly how I try to look at it. If it would have happened against the Cowboys, I would have been like, oh, you know, damn Cowboys, you know, this and that, whatever, whatever. But then I would have stopped, I would have looked at it, and I would have said, hey, listen, that could have happened to the Cowboys against the Giants, and it could have favored us.
Right.
The rule's the rule. It's not something that's been called very often. I think this is the first time it's been called, actually.
Yeah, first time all season. And okay. It just got instituted in preseason this year.
Okay, so there you go. So it's the first time it's ever called. It was a legit call. You can't be mad at it. You can't be mad at it.
No, and I was actually talking to Sully about this on his Facebook feed. And Sully, by the way, is on repeat this week. He's got a best of coming on. He's not live this week. I said to him, is the call nonsense? Yes. But in the context of the rule, the official called it perfectly.
Right.
So you can't get mad at the officials for making the call. You can get mad at the NFL for instituting the rule. But a lot of the long snappers in the NFL, some of them are third-string tight ends. Some of them are even fullbacks.
Right.
And if I have a guy like Vince Wilfork, who's 6'5", 350 pounds, for all intents and purposes, against, I don't know, a guy the size of maybe Joe McKnight sometimes.
Right.
They don't want two guys that are in their 300-pound range pushing over a 200-pound long snapper. That's where injuries come into play. That's where snapped knees and players' careers come into play. So you really need to just understand what the rule is. And it angered me to see the outlash. And it wasn't so much because of the rule itself. Everybody was outraged because of it was the Jets.
Right.
And that being a local thing, that's what really aggravated me.
It's a bit foolish to be angry about that because it happened for the Jets. Stop. Just stop. It happened in favor of the Jets. It could have happened in favor of your team. Look at it that way. If it happened in favor of your team in the exact same situation, how would you react to it? If you're going to sit there and honestly tell me, you would sit there and say, oh, I would still think it was bullshit, you're lying.
I think it's a garbage call. I think it's a totally garbage call. But you can't do anything about it. I'd rather have these referees making the right calls than last year when we had the NFL replacement refs.
Oh, for the first 4 weeks.
And Seattle benefited from that, because if Seattle doesn't win that game, they don't go on that run after they beat Green Bay on a Monday night.
Right.
Okay? Listen, I don't want to stay too much at this. We have a lot to do. But honestly speaking, it's a part of the game. Get over it. It happens.
Absolutely.
If it happens to my Jets this week against Cincinnati, then so be it. You got to take the good with the bad in the NFL, and you can't sit there and replay everything. I think the NFL replays way too many things and doesn't let human error come into play. But you can't do anything about it.
Okay.
Take it for what it is. It was a great game in general. Don't let that little piece mar that game, because the game from beginning to end was end-to-end perfection.
Yeah. And we'll go into some of the stats. Like I said, Tom Brady, 22-46, 228 yards, no touchdowns and an interception. Second time this season he's been held to no touchdowns. Geno Smith, 17 of 33, 233 yards, one touchdown and a pick. Rushing stats, Stephen Ridley, 11 rushes for 50 yards and a touchdown.
How about my boy Chris Ivory?
We didn't get to him yet. Hold on.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm an excited Jet fan.
Brandon Bolden, 8 rushes for 36 yards and a touchdown for the Patriots. Going over to Chris's Jets, Chris Ivory, 34 attempts, 104 yards, no touchdowns. Geno Smith, 6 rushes for 32 yards and a touchdown. Bilal Powell, pretty much non-existent with 3 rushes for 6 yards. The receiving stats, as we said earlier, Gronkowski, 8 grabs, 114 yards, no touchdowns. Julian Edelman, 5 grabs for 44 yards. Oh, look at that. Somebody's very conspicuously missing. Constantly injured.
Was Antonio Holmes?
No. Amendola.
What a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the big thing about that Gronkowski stat line, yeah, he had 114 yards, but he had no touchdowns.
Right.
He can run all, he can catch and run, excuse me, all he wants. Just keep him out of the end zone.
Absolutely.
Keep him out of the end zone. And the Jets did a fantastic job. Biggest turning point of the game right after halftime. Patriots come out, get the ball. Tom Brady throws. Armando Allen, interception, pick six, gets back into the end zone. Jets get right back into this game. Actually had the lead at that point when they had that pick six. Big time mood switch, and I'm ecstatic that we won that game.
And according to Michelle Steele for ESPN, Amendola will play today.
Oh, good. So he'll get hurt halfway through.
Probably. Receiving stats for the Jets, for Jeremy Curley, eight grabs, 97 yards and a touchdown. David Nelson, four grabs, 80 yards, no touchdowns. Jeff Cumberland, three grabs for 41 yards.
Cumberland's done a good job of filling in for the suspended Kellen Winslow. I think when Winslow gets back, Cumberland should be the starter. Winslow should be the number two tight end and run a lot of two tight end sets, a la the New England Patriots when they had Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez.
Yep. All right. Who's this? Somebody's calling in. Hello, Tattoos and Touchdowns.
Hi, Tattoos and Touchdowns. This is Veronica Harris, Donald Jones' assistant. How are you?
All right, Veronica. How are you?
I'm doing well. I sent an email because Donald has a game today. They're in the semifinals of their game. If they win, they go to the championships. And he was wondering if he could call in from 11:45 to 12. He would still do the liners for you, whatever else you needed, but he's just hoping that the game could, you know, possibly be over or something like that because, you know, they win, they go to the championship, so.
All right. Yeah, no, absolutely. Apparently, for everybody listening, Donald Jones is now.
Everybody gets to hear the inner workings of Tattoos and Touchdowns.
Yeah, it would have been nice if you told us she was on the air.
Oh my God, you guys are so funny. Okay. But he's actually in the middle of a, you know, it's a big baseball game, and as you know, I think I told you he's training because eventually he wants to get back into baseball. I mean, that was always his best sport to begin with, believe it or not.
Okay.
And, you know, they have a chance to make the championships. And he's like, you know, I'm committed to the team. I was like, I know.
All right. Well, do us a favor. That's not a problem. 11:45 shouldn't be an issue.
Okay.
Wish him luck for us, and we look forward to talking to him a little bit later on.
Okay, great. Thank you. You guys are great. Awesome.
Thank you, Veronica.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was nice.
Yeah, a little insight to how we work behind the scenes.
We already said it already, but spoiler alert, we have Donald Jones at 11:45.
And one of the things I didn't want to let out until the interview was that he's playing baseball now.
Yeah.
He's playing in an independent league, so.
Good for him. Good for him. Well, he'll elaborate on it when he gets on the show.
Absolutely. So. We'll head on over to the Cowboys and Eagles, big divisional game.
What a snooze fest.
Yeah.
I was looking at that game thinking, hey, well, the Cowboys dropped 48 points against the Broncos, and the Eagles' offense is ridiculous. No.
Yeah, but when
you have Matt Barkley.
Yeah, Matt Barkley wound up coming in the game. Final of this game was 17-3, Cowboys over the Eagles. Nick Foles winds up going out with a concussion.
Yeah.
He was 11 of 29 for 80 yards before he got the concussion. Matt Barkley comes in and goes 11 for 20 for 129 yards. No touchdowns, three interceptions.
Yeah, Matt Barkley was a deer in headlights in this game. And lo and behold, against the Giants today, Mike Vick is starting.
Yes.
He is starting today.
Mike Vick will be back. Tony Romo, 28 of 47, 317 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. The rushing stats, nothing really to brag about on either side of the ball.
Joseph Randall had a good day.
19 rushes for 65 yards. Philip Tanner, two rushes for a yard and a touchdown. Head on over to the Eagles. LeSean McCoy, 18 rushes, 55 yards, no touchdowns. Nick Foles ran for 25 yards also.
Yeah, with Shady McCoy, my team, I have him on the radio, the TNT League. As he goes, so goes my team.
Right.
When he has, and the Chiefs defense, excuse me. If Shady has a day where he'll rush for 100 yards and catch for 50, and I have my Chiefs defense, I usually win.
Right.
If Shady goes under 85 yards, I'm done. I'm toast. Right.
The receiving stats, the newest member of the Flying Teabags in the NFL League and the TNT League, the N-Bomb Bandit, Riley Cooper, six grabs for 88 yards. LeSean McCoy, six grabs for 26 yards. No receiving touchdowns. There was no touchdowns at all for the Eagles. And for the Cowboys, Dez Bryant, 8 grabs, 110 yards, no touchdowns. Terrence Williams, 6 grabs, 71 yards, and a touchdown.
Terrence Williams has filled in quite nicely for Miles Austin.
He certainly has. Jason Witten, 4 grabs, 48 yards, no touchdowns. Heading on over to what turned out to be a barn burner in Washington, the Redskins edge out the Bears 45-41. Jay Cutler winds up going out injured. Thank you, Jay Cutler. I needed you next week. Yeah. He's out with a groin injury. Josh McCown comes in. He goes 14 of 20 for 204 yards and a touchdown. Robert Griffin III, 18 of 29, 298 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. The rushing stats, Matt Forte, 16 rushes, 91 yards, 3, count them, 3 touchdowns for Matt Forte. That's his biggest game of the year.
It's the only game I lost last week on Pros versus Joe. Highly upset.
Wow.
Way to go, Bravehearts.
I'm not.
Oh, you heard about that?
Yeah, well, of course I heard about it. I'm the one that threw it up in the Facebook page.
I know. That's where I got my good information from. Tattoos and Touchdowns, Facebook page. Plug.
No other real rushing stats for the Bears. For the Redskins or the Bravehearts or the Potato Skins, I don't know what they're going to be.
I'm calling it now. If they change the name to the Bravehearts, it should still be the side profile. But what they should do is they should take Mel Gibson's face as the side profile.
Yes, the painted face.
Yes, yes.
The blue and the gray.
Yes,
absolutely.
Fantastic.
Alfred Morris, 19 rushes for 95 yards, no touchdowns. Robert Griffin III, 11 rushes for 84 yards, no touchdowns. Now, I was watching the highlights last week of this game, and I forget what I was watching it on. It was probably the Monday night game, and I think Dan Patrick was calling the highlight, and I laughed my ass off when he did this because he was talking about Ryan Helu. Ryan Helu, 11 rushes, 41 yards, 3 touchdowns. And as he was running in for one of the touchdowns, he goes, and a rushing touchdown for Ryan. Hello.
Which anybody who remembers old SportsCenter, he used to do that all the time.
Absolutely.
That was one of his little catchphrases. Well, it was actually Oberman's catchphrase.
Yeah, but they had different ones for every player. And I really like the hello. The Bears, Brandon Marshall, 6 grabs, 75 yards. Alshon Jeffrey, 4 grabs, 105 yards. Martellus Bennett, 1 grab, 7 yards, and a touchdown. That's the way to make it count. Really upset that he's not with the Giants anymore. Redskins, Jordan Reed. He's also a brand new member of the Flying T-Bags. 9 grabs, 134 yards, and a touchdown. Aldrick Robinson, 2 grabs, 75 yards, and a touchdown. Really nothing else to talk about as far as this game is concerned. Heading on over to Jacksonville. San Diego smacks Jacksonville around like a redheaded stepchild, 24-6. Phillip Rivers, 22 of 26, 285 yards and a touchdown. Chad Henne, 23 of 36, 318 yards and an interception.
Here's a little fun fact about the Jacksonville Jaguars. This season, at home, have yet to score a touchdown.
That's never a recipe for goodness.
No. They're 0-7. They haven't scored a touchdown. Offensive or defensive touchdown all season at home. I don't get it.
One word, two syllables, awful. Rushing stats for the Chargers. Ryan Matthews, 21 rushes, 110 yards and a touchdown. Danny Woodhead, 9 rushes, 29 yards and a touchdown. Heading on over to the Jaguars. MJD, non-existent, 9 rushes, 37 yards. Justin Forsett, 2 rushes, 19 yards. You think back a couple years, these guys were fearsome tandem.
Somebody dropped MJD in one of my fantasy leagues, my big money fantasy league. I took the gamble and picked him up.
Why not? They got nobody else, really.
No. I took the gamble, so anyway.
Not necessarily a bad gamble. Heading on over to Atlanta. Atlanta, really, surprisingly, I mean, I'm going to call this edging out the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's 31, the Mercer Bowl.
31-23. Yeah, but that game shouldn't have been that close.
It just goes to show you. Listen, Atlanta doesn't have Julio Jones. They didn't have Roddy White.
Right.
Tony Gonzalez can jump off a cliff. They don't have Steven Jackson. They have a terrible defense.
Right.
They should have. If they play any other team in that game, they lose.
Probably, yeah.
Harry Douglas had a day.
He certainly did. We'll get into that.
Of course, he was nestled on my bench in one of my leagues, enjoying himself, soaking in the sun. Funny story at the end of this game. After the game was over, because they were in Atlanta, Tampa's in the visitors' locker room. I was going to say dugout. World Series on the brain. They're in the visitors' locker room. After they leave, a hazmat team came right in behind them and basically boiled the locker room.
Fantastic.
Completely bleach, doused, melted that locker room. This team has got such a bad following this year. Forget about the 0-8 or the 0-7.
No, they'll probably be an 0-8 after this.
Yeah. They have four guys with MRSA.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is going on in Tampa?
Apparently, they don't clean very often. That's what's going on.
Shiano's got a bad case of crotch rot.
Oh. Shiano's going to be gone after this season, too.
Good.
Going into the stats for the game, Tampa Bay, Mike Glennon, 26 of 44 for 256 yards and two touchdowns. Matt Ryan, 20 of 26, 273 yards and three touchdowns. The rushing stats, Doug Martin, 11 rushes, 47 yards. Mike James, 14 rushes for 45 yards. Mike Glennon broke off one 13-yard run during the game also. The Atlanta Falcons, non-existent.
In the run game, yeah.
Jaquizz Rodgers, 8 rushes, 16 yards. Jason Snelling, 7 rushes, 14 yards.
Jaquizz is good out of the backfield catching the ball.
Yeah.
Which I don't think he even did. Did he do that well?
Jaquizz Rodgers, 8 grabs for 46 yards, 2 touchdowns receiving.
Yeah, I have him in the TNT league, and he's actually been saving me because I use him as my flex.
Yeah, I mean, and he's apparently more of a tight end at the running back position.
Yeah.
You know. For the rest of the Falcons, Harry Douglas, like you said, Chris, had a day. 7 grabs, 149 yards, 1 touchdown.
And he's always needed that. He's always been third fiddle to Roddy White and Julio Jones. He's played third mic to them.
Right.
It happens.
Yeah.
But now that he had a chance to step up and show what he's got, had a good day. And yeah. I think he's a free agent after this year, so that one game will get him a contract somewhere.
After the Giants release Akeem Nicks at the end of the season because he's done nothing, I think he should probably take a chance on Harry Douglas. Just putting it out there.
Forget about that before they trade him.
Yeah, well, that's another story. For the Bucs, Vincent Jackson, 10 grabs, 138 yards, 2 touchdowns. Nobody else really did anything to have any kind of impact on this game. Heading over to Detroit. Cincinnati edges out Detroit, 27-24. Give me 1 second as the stats load here. Andy Dalton had himself a decent day. Actually, I'm not going to say a decent day. He had himself a really good day. 24 of 34, 372 yards, 3 touchdowns. Matthew Stafford, almost matching his counterpart's statistics, 28 of 51, 357 yards, 3 touchdowns. Rushing stats, again, non-existent in this game. Rushing stats have been non-existent all season, pretty much.
Passing league.
It really is.
It's passing league.
It's showing. Giovanni Bernard, 7 rushes, 27 yards. The law firm, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, 10 rushes for 24 yards.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, attorneys at law.
For the Lions.
1-800-TOUCHDOWN.
For the Lions, Reggie Bush, 20 rushes for 50 yards. And Joyquay Bell, 5 rushes for 27 yards. Now the receiving stats. Two guys really stood out. A.J. Green. Six grabs, 155 yards, and a touchdown.
Great touchdown, too. It was a deep bomb.
Yeah,
great
yeah.
Play.
I'll get into the other big-time receiver in a minute. The only other person, there was two other people with a touchdown. Marvin Jones for the Bengals, 4 grabs, 57 yards, and a touchdown. Tyler Eifert finding the end zone, 3 grabs, 45 yards. For the Lions, Calvin Johnson had himself a big day. 9 grabs, 155 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Great shot after the game. They actually showed Calvin Johnson and A.J. Green exchanging jerseys.
Yeah.
After the game. Kind of like in soccer or European football.
Thing.
They always, after a friendly, they'll swap jerseys or whatever. And just to see, honestly speaking, two of the top 5 wide receivers in the league right now.
Absolutely.
Besides Andre Johnson and Dez Bryant and Brandon Marshall, I think they're at the tip. Calvin Johnson's number one. But to see them acknowledge and respect each other's abilities.
Right.
Very classy. Calvin Johnson's probably the classiest guy in the league outside of Adrian Peterson.
Okay. All right. The only other person with a touchdown was Brandon Pettigrew. 3 grabs for 7 yards on a touchdown. Everybody else was kind of very pedestrian. Jason Furia, one grab, 15 yards.
How many more games we got?
Oh, let's see. We just did this one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 more games. But it is that time. It is 10:30. Time to take a quick break. You are listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns exclusively on morelikeradio.com. And we will be right back after this.
Do you like video games? Are you a little antisocial? Well, listen to Antisocial Gamer Radio, Tuesdays from 3 to 5 on morelikeradio.com.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Footer from The Red. Make sure you check us out every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on More Like Radio.
Following Hippo Jew.
Wait, we're following an overweight banker? What does he do, like a Saul Roth dude? Talking accounting right here on More Like Radio.
No. I said Hippo Juice.
Oh, Juice.
Yes.
I know Hippo Juice. They rule. All right, boom. Listen to Hippo Juice. Then listen to us, 9 p.m. Wednesdays, live.
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Welcome back. Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. All your NFL needs wrapped up in 1 2-hour show every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. to noon. Heading on back to the Week 7 review. Carolina Panthers, what happened here? They win 30-15 over the St. Louis Rams. Now, I know the Rams are bad, but I didn't think this.
Sam Bradford got injured in that game.
He certainly did.
Sam Bradford's out for the season. Sam, the Rams reached out to Brett Favre to come back for the season. And Brett Favre, to his credit, turned them down. I will say if they were 6-0 and they reached out to him that they lost Bradford for the season, he would have been back in faster than you could say texting penis pic.
Oh.
Okay, way to go, Brett. Stupid.
I was actually very happy to hear that Brett Favre said no.
Go away, old man.
Well, there was another story this week about an old man. We'll get into it a little bit later on.
Carolina is starting to come into their own. They look really good. And I talked about it before the season started. I thought Carolina's defense could be top 7 in the league. That defensive front, man, that front 7, even without John Beeson after they make the trade to the Giants,
right,
look very good. Kuechly looks great. Lutalele and Kawan Short look fantastic. Team is starting to fire on all cylinders, and they won the Thursday night game of this week already against Tampa Bay.
Right.
So good for them, and Cam Newton looked fantastic again.
Yep, Cam Newton, 15 of 17 for 204 yards and a passing touchdown. Sam Bradford was 21 of 30, 255 yards for a TD and an interception. Kellen Clemens came in and basically threw the ball four times, completed it twice for 19 yards. The rushing stats, again, it's just fairly non-existent. Zach Stacy for the Rams, 17 for 53. For the Panthers, D'Angelo Williams, 15 rushes, 40 yards. Mike Tolbert, 13 rushes, 36 yards and a touchdown. Cam Newton, 10 rushes, 26 yards, no touchdowns. Heading on over to the Rams receiving stats. Tavon Austin, 5 grabs for 39 yards. Zach Stacy caught the ball 4 times for 34 yards and a touchdown. Brian Quick, I should mention him, 2 grabs, 97 yards.
Yeah, I think St. Louis does a very good job, even though they're not a great team. They do a good job of spreading the ball around. I'm curious to see what happens now that Kellen Clemens is the starter. I don't think it's going to amount to much of it, more than a hill of beans this week. They have Seattle. That's
yeah. Well, St. Louis completed passes to 9 different receivers in this game. Receiving stats for the Panthers. Steve Smith, 5 grabs, 69 yards and a touchdown. Greg Olsen, 4 grabs, 47 yards. Brandon LaFell, 3 grabs, 35 yards. Nobody else really worth mentioning. Heading on over to Tennessee. San Francisco beats out Tennessee 31-17.
Wasn't even that close.
No, it really
wasn't.
Game
was 24-0 at the half.
It's actually 17-0 at the half.
Okay.
17-0 at the half. Colin Kaepernick, 13 of 21, 199 yards. No touchdowns, no picks. Jake Locker, 25 of 41, 326 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception. That's actually a really good day for him.
Yeah.
Rushing stats, Frank Gore. 24 rushes, 70 yards, 2 touchdowns. Colin Kaepernick ran the ball 11 times, 68 yards, and had a touchdown. Tennessee Titans rushing stats. Well, Chris Johnson ran the ball 9 times for 39 yards, and Jake Locker ran it 3 times for 29 yards.
They were a little nervous that Jake Locker was coming back too soon. I think that getting him back now, as much as I'm not a Jake Locker fan, going forward as he gets healthier, they got a shot, an outside shot at a playoff spot.
Very outside shot. Receiving stats, Anquan Boldin, 4 of 49, is 5 grabs, 74 yards. Vernon Davis, 4 grabs, 62 yards. No passing touchdowns in this game, obviously. Well, for the 49ers, anyway. Tennessee Titans, Kendall Wright, 9 grabs, 98 yards. Chris Johnson, 4 grabs, 71 yards and a touchdown. Delanie Walker, 3 grabs, 52 yards and a touchdown. That's a name we really haven't said all season.
Yeah.
Let's go on over to a much closer game than I thought it would be. Kansas City beats out Houston 17-16. Case Keenum had himself a pretty good day. 15 of 25, 271 yards and a touchdown. Alex Smith, actually a bad day for him. 23 of 34, 240 yards, no touchdowns and an interception.
He did have a rushing touchdown, though. And on the point to Case Keenum, if he can string together a couple of solid games, bye-bye Matty Schaub.
Yeah.
I think Keenum, they wanted to go this route to begin with, but they couldn't because they have money invested in Schaub, and I think he's a free agent at the end of this year.
Okay.
Case Keenum is a good, low-cost, high-reward, low-risk, high-reward option until, depending on where they fall in the draft this year.
Right. Rushing stats for the Texans. Ben Tate, 15 rushes, 50 yards. Arian Foster, 4 rushes for 11 yards.
Could be done for the year.
Yeah.
Arian Foster did something to his hamstring in this game. Could be done for the season.
That's going to be a big loss for Houston.
Yeah.
For the Chiefs, Jamaal Charles, 21 rushes, 86 yards and a touchdown. Alex Smith, 6 rushes, 28 yards and a touchdown. Going on over to the receiving stats, Andre Johnson, 4 grabs, 89 yards. DeAndre Hopkins, 3 grabs, 76 yards and a touchdown. Heading on over to the Chiefs, Dwayne Bowes, 5 grabs for 66 yards. Dexter McCluster, 4 grabs for 70 yards. Nobody else really worth mentioning.
Dwayne Bowes may be out today for Kansas City. He's questionable.
Okay. Now, heading on over to Green Bay. Green Bay beats out Cleveland 31-13. Brandon Whedon, you know, whatever. 17 of 42, 149 yards, a touchdown and an interception. Aaron Rodgers has himself a pretty good day. 25 of 36, 260 yards, 3 touchdowns. After this game, Jeff Garcia calls up Cleveland and says, hey, you know, I could still play.
So could I.
Right.
But
you don't have the pedigree.
I can go to the store and buy pedigree.
It's true. Very
right?
True.
Same thing. Brown's dog food. Get it? Ha! It was a really bad joke. Womp. Anyway. I'm learning from the best, Joe. I'm learning from the best. Jason Campbell starting this week. Browns have now run through 3 starting quarterbacks in a season.
Yeah.
They were in first place 2 weeks ago. Can you let the team? A football team is like a fine wine. You know, yeah, open up the bottle, let it breathe a little bit, let it grow. It has different elements to it, different layers, different textures, different flavors.
Injuries are going to kill you.
What was the line from Goodfellas? It's like putting a silk head on a pig. No disrespect. I'm sorry. No offense.
Going on over to the rushing stats, Willis McGahee, 11 for 39. Nothing else really to talk about. For the Packers, Eddie Lacy is building himself up. He's doing the right thing. 22 rushes, 82 yards, and a touchdown. Receiving stats for the Browns, Jordan Cameron, 7 grabs, 55 yards, and a touchdown. Greg Little, 4 grabs, 49 yards, no touchdowns. For the Packers, Jarrett Boykin, 8 grabs, 103 yards, and a touchdown. Jermichael Finley, 5 grabs, 72 yards and a touchdown. He's actually injured.
He may be done for the season yet again. He was carted off the field.
Yeah, I saw an interview with him yesterday, though, and he said he was doing pretty good. Remains to be seen how long he's going to be out for.
He was on the floor, and he looked up like he had the stiff arms where he was trying to like get up and fight whatever just happened.
Right.
No.
Yeah, no bueno. Jordy Nelson, 5 grabs, 42 yards and a touchdown. Heading on over to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh edges out Baltimore 19-16. Chris, your hands are up. You all right?
Yeah. Just stretching at the fact that I was the only one who picked them last week.
Yeah.
Roll back to back. Roll steel curtain.
Joe Flacco, 24 of 34, 215 yards and a touchdown. Ben Roethlisberger, 17 of 23, 160 yards and a touchdown. Rushing stats, Ray Rice, 15 rushes, 45 yards.
Worst season of his career so far.
Yeah, really. For the Steelers, Le'Veon Bell, 19 rushes, 93 yards. That's pretty much it. Receiving stats, Jacoby Jones, 4 grabs for 32 yards. Dallas Clark, ageless, 3 grabs, 9 yards, 1 touchdown. Torrey Smith had himself 3 grabs for 61 yards. Heading on over to the Steelers, Antonio Brown, 6 grabs, 50 yards. Jericho Cotchery, former Jet, 4 grabs, 41 yards. Heath Miller pulls in 2 for 17 yards and a touchdown.
And Baltimore needs this bye week. They're on a bye this week. They desperately need that. Need to get healthy. Need to regroup. They're in some rough spots right now.
Yes, they are. Game of the week. What was dubbed the War of 1812. If you don't know why.
Well done.
Peyton wears 18. Andrew Luck wears 12. War of 1812. Get it. I didn't come up with it.
Unfortunately.
Indianapolis Colts beat out the Broncos 39-33. Chris, you almost nailed that score dead on, brother. You came very close to nailing that.
What
dead
did
on.
I have?
I believe the high for you was 36-32, so according to Price is Right rules, you win.
Yay.
You also said Andrew Luck would have more passing yards than Peyton Manning.
That didn't happen.
And Peyton Manning would have more touchdowns. It was actually almost reversed. Peyton Manning had more passing yards with 386. Andrew Luck had 228. They tied in touchdowns with 3 each. Peyton Manning did have a pick. Rushing stats, no Sean Moreno, 15 rushes, 40 yards, and a touch. Going on over to the Colts, Trent Richardson, non-existent all season, whether he's been with the Browns or the Colts. 14 rushes, 37 yards. Andrew Luck, well, all right. I'll give you the Andrew Luck thing. He had more touchdowns. Andrew Luck, 4 rushes, 29 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, man. The first of the pigskin prophecies last week.
Yes. The receiving stats for the Broncos, Eric Decker, 8 grabs, 150 yards, and a touchdown. Wes Welker grabbed the ball 7 times for 96 yards. Julius Thomas, 5 grabs, 41 yards, and a touchdown. Demaryius Thomas, 4 grabs, 82 yards, and a touchdown. Again, Peyton Manning doing what he does, spreading that ball. For the Colts, Reggie Wayne, 5 grabs, 50 yards, and possibly a season-ending injury.
Yeah, he's done.
No, it is. He's definitely done. Yeah. All right.
When it happened, I thought he had hurt the other knee. But when he went down, I'm watching the game, and I went, he's done.
Yeah, it was a non-contact injury, unfortunately.
He planted in the turf, and he went one way, and his knee went the other.
Yeah. This could benefit me for my fantasy team, though, as I have T.Y. Hilton, and he's going to have to step up and take a bulk more of the carries. Kobe Fleener, 5 grabs, 38 yards and a touchdown. Darius Heyward-Bey, 4 grabs, 44 yards and a touchdown. Stanley Havili, 1 grab, 20 yards and a touchdown. Other than that, not much else going on. Going on to the Monday night game. Yay! The Giants finally win a game. It only took them 7 weeks, 23-7 over the Vikings. Watching that game with Philip Buffalo Wild Wings, it was painful. It was a terrible game to watch.
Yeah.
Josh Freeman was overthrowing everybody. He had 82 yards going into the fourth quarter.
I actually had said I was watching the game, and I told my wife, I said, he's going to wind up having over 30 incomplete passes, and he did.
He had 33 incompletions, 20 of 53, 190 yards, no touchdowns, and an interception. Eli Manning, well, you predicted he wouldn't throw an interception. You were correct. You predicted he would have 350 yards. Combined between the two quarterbacks, they had 390.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning went 23 of 39 for 200 yards and a touchdown.
Listen, I'll take the touchdown. But honestly speaking, that was the best game of the year for Eli because he didn't throw a pick.
Right.
He didn't turn the ball over. I said the Giants were going to get their first win. Again, Meatloaf says 2 out of 3 ain't bad. I'll take it.
There you go.
And I'll take the prophecy with Indianapolis, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, and I'll take that too. The only thing I didn't have was the passing yards. I had Andrew Luck with 350. Between 3 and 350, Peyton Manning was the one for almost 400.
Right.
So I'll take it.
Rushing stats, Adrian Peterson, 13 of 28. Awful. Awful for AP. For the Giants, newly signed Peyton Hillis, 18 rushes for 36 yards and a touchdown. Michael Cox, 11 of for 23.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I actually picked him up. I dropped David Wilson. I picked up Michael Cox just in case.
See, I think Peyton Hillis is going to wind up doing a lot more for them.
So do I. It was that flip a coin, which one do you think? I didn't know.
Yeah, and Peyton Hillis has gone in our league anyway.
Yeah, and I also picked up Mike James from Tampa.
Nice. Heading on over to the receiving stats. For the Vikings, it was just...
You can't catch the ball if you don't have a quarterback throwing it to you.
Yeah, exactly. Greg Jennings, 4 grabs, 41 yards. Jerome Simpson, 3 grabs, 32 yards. Kyle Rudolph, 3 grabs for 27 yards. Adrian Peterson matches rushing stats with receptions. 2 receptions, 28 yards. Other than that, non-existent. For the Giants, again, when you throw for 200 yards, you're not going to have big numbers. Victor Cruz, 5 grabs, 50 yards. Peyton Hillis, 5 grabs, 45 yards, which is where Peyton Hillis is really going to start killing people because he's more of a receiving back, but he can still pound the ball in.
And you could actually run twin backfield with him and Brandon Jacobs, have Jacobs pound the rock, and you could have Peyton Hillis like a Heinoski type where he could either block or he can go out into the flat now, and that's a different element that Heinoski didn't bring you.
And Heinoski he doesn't have the hands.
Right.
He doesn't have the hands for it. I mean, he does have one touchdown. I think he caught the touchdown.
And they also have John Connor.
Right. And Bear Pascoe could also line up as a fullback.
Right.
Ruben Randle, 3 grabs, 40 yards, and a touchdown. And now we will go on to...
Big thing in that game is Hakeem Nicks. Hakeem Nicks only had two catches that entire game, but he was targeted 10 times. He had 6 drops in that game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Terrible.
And right after Victor Cruz signed his big contract, we had that big debate. Why isn't the money going to Hakeem Nicks? Injury prone, and he's not earning any kind of contract
and
this season.
I also think he's at a point where he has Brandon Marshall syndrome right now. He wants out of New York. He didn't get the money, so he's disgruntled about that. They were 0-6. He was disgruntled about that, or 0-5, whatever. Disgruntled about that. Now he's just basically saying, I want out, and I think they're going to really look long and hard at a contending team to trade him away to by Tuesday. I have a funny feeling.
They say they're not going to, but I think it's the best thing for everybody involved. I mean, Hakeem, honestly, you've spent your entire Giants career injury. You're injury prone. You have that label.
Right.
Stop. Stop. Going to the Thursday night game, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers lose to the Carolina Panthers 31-13. Cam Newton, 23 of 32, 221 yards, two touchdowns. Mike Glennon, 30 of 51 for 275 yards and one touchdown. Rushing stats, Cam Newton, 11 rushes for 50 yards, leading rusher for the game, one touchdown. D'Angelo Williams, 8 rushes, 43 yards and a touchdown. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Mike James was their leading rusher for 10 rushes for 39 yards.
Did you like Cam Newton's cleats this week?
I didn't get a chance to watch the game. I didn't notice.
He had baby blue, Carolina blue,
okay,
Superman cleats on. And it makes me so happy when he does his little Superman thing, because I know it pisses you off.
I can't stand Superman. I can't stand Cam Newton.
I love it so much.
Stop it. All right. Receiving stats for the Panthers. Ted Ginn, 5 receptions, 80 yards. Steve Smith, 4 receptions, 42 yards. Mike Tolbert, 4 receptions, 29 yards and a touchdown. Greg Olsen, 3 grabs, 21 yards and a touchdown. Heading on over to the Buccaneers. Is it really worth even talking about? Vincent Jackson was the leading receiver, 5 grabs for 79 yards. Followed by Tim Wright, 5 grabs for 48 yards and a touchdown. Other than that, non-existent. So we are at that point where we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to preview the upcoming games for the week. You are listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns exclusively on MoreLikeRadio.com. We will be back right after this.
Join Marianne and Kitty on Daytime Divas, where Marianne's milkshake brings all the creepers to the yard, and their life is better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge. Daytime Divas, Thursdays at 8 a.m. on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Did somebody bet me how many washcloths I could fit in my butt, or did I do this just for fun?
I'm sorry, ham radio, but you left me no other choice. I called the FCC.
Don't have my vitamins, chance of Nancy Cecil on radio, you idiot!
We're tired of you infecting people with your smut. This is an epidemic, and it must be contained.
I will not have it happening in my own house.
Fuck you and everyone else. People freaking love us. We're gonna be huge.
This is ham radio, because once you go ham, fuck everything else.
This is Ham Radio. Be part of the problem, not part of the solution. Tuesdays, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Here on...
Bringing internet radio to the next level. It's not FM. It's not XM. It's more like radio. MoreLikeRadio.com, a new standard in internet radio.
Tattoos and Touchdowns.
Best Sunny Show!
Mark out radio with Big T and Dark Fox.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
The No Name Show.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Lust and Love Radio.
Ham Radio.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by Volume.
This is Unsigned with Jay Fox.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
Sweet speakers with Lance and Kyle.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
It's the Red Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
Welcome to the Gentleman Show.
Welcome back to the Ellison Albert Show.
This is the Fifth Circle.
Radio Meltdown.
Consume Radio.
The Nerd Hour.
All right, you're checking out the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio.
More Like Radio!
It's not FM. It's not XM. It's More Like Radio. MoreLikeRadio.com, Tattoos and Touchdowns, as we have Will is air guitaring and pumping his fist and giving up the horns.
Who doesn't like Maiden?
God, plays good, too.
All right, we're into week 8.
Yeah.
You know what that means. It's time for us to preview the games. We already had the Thursday night game that Will and I just went over. Pros versus Joe last week. We had...
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, oh, we are going to talk about it.
I did great, didn't I?
Yeah, you certainly did, Joe. Certainly did. Joe was 0-5 last week.
I was perfect.
He was perfectly
perfect.
Dead. Joe was 0-5 last week. As soon as the the stats pull up, I could actually give you what his wins and losses are for the year. Joe is now sitting in third place. He's nestled. He's nestled in the cellar.
And getting worse,
in his own, in
he apparently tucked himself in last week, too.
In his own bunker.
I'm burying myself alive here.
Joe is sitting at 16 wins, 19 losses. Your boy Espo went 4-1 last week. I'm sitting now at 21-14. And Will goes 2-3 last week, sitting now at 22-13.
Wow.
I'm one game away. As we spoke about on Ham Radio last week, I think what we're going to do is, on Ham Radio, the loser has to kiss, has to pucker up and kiss the winner's rear end.
Yes. Bear.
Bear. Bear rear end. Bear, hairy rear end.
I know.
Joe's panicking.
I am. I'm trying to buy my way out. Nobody will take the money.
I told you we could work something out, but no, we don't want to work anything out.
Well, Joe's more upset because he doesn't want to. Well, he's got a Miley Cyrus ass, and
Joe's ass came in like a wrecking ball.
I'm telling you.
And I think what we're going to do on this show is the two people who do not win, because remember, second place is just the first loser, will have to fit the bill for a nice breakfast for the three of us.
Okay, I'll go for that. I'd rather do that than kiss an ass. Let
nice
me
bagels
tell you.
And stuff.
Could I get a Denver omelet that we don't know what's in it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there you go. I got a Denver omelet. What's in it?
Shoelaces.
Fantastic.
All right. All right. Time for me to get serious now. Now that we have a prize on the line.
Yeah. Okay. Week 8. This game, and like I always do, I will tell Joe when the Pros versus Joe comes in so he can come in with his expert analysis.
Yes.
This is not a Pros versus Joe game because this wouldn't just be fair. San Francisco at, air quotes, everybody, at Jacksonville, meaning they're in foggy London town again.
Yeah, bip, cheerio.
San Francisco's 15-point favorites. I will take San Francisco in this game straight up, as well as with the points.
As would I.
Okay.
It's not fair.
No.
It's not fair.
San Francisco is just getting better and better. Jacksonville's just getting worse and worse. Jacksonville is on a fast track to the Johnny Manziel sweepstakes.
Yep.
Excuse me. First game in Pros versus Joe.
Ooh, that's me.
We have Dallas on the road in Detroit. Detroit is a 3-point favorite in this game. I will start us off. I'm taking Detroit in this game at home. I like Calvin Johnson against the inferior Dallas Cowboys secondary, and I like Matthew Stafford at home. I think this game is going to be a shootout, and every time I've said that this year, it's wound up being a defensive battle, but I will go shootout. I will say Detroit wins this game 35-32-ish. Detroit, I got the Lions.
Okay. I'm going to agree, but if I had to pick against the spread, I'm going to take Dallas. I don't think Detroit's going to cover.
So you're going to go straight up in this, but you're going to take Detroit.
Oh. I'm going to take Detroit. My Pros versus Joe.
Okay.
We have a difference of opinion there, huh?
Don't we always, Joe?
Of course we do.
That's true. Well, you know, I always take the Texas guys because I think Texas is the, you know, they play football. But I'm always wrong, so I'm going to go with Detroit.
Whoa.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. Whoa, wait a second.
Well,
Joe.
No, I'm figuring I'm always wrong, so whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to do the opposite now.
Can I change my pick now?
No. I swear to Christ, if Dallas wins this week, next week on the show, we're going to hear, I told you.
Those lousy Cowboys.
All right. Next game up on the docket, we have the Giants traveling to Philly. Philly is 5.5-point favorites in this game. Mike Vick back. I think last week was an aberration. I got Philly in this game straight up, and I have Philly in this game with the points.
Oh, wow. Philly at the Giants. I want to root for my Giants, but they're not giving me anything to really hang my hat on.
Well, they got to win sooner or later.
Well, they won last week, yeah. But I don't think they're going to beat Philly right now. I think Philly is the better team. So I'm going to go with Philly.
With Vic.
One.
I mean, if Matt Barkley was the quarterback, I'd take the Giants in a heartbeat. I take the Giants in a heartbeat. Matt Barkley looked horrendous last week.
Yeah, but he came in an emergency situation, didn't really have time to prepare. Bah, 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 bah. I'm still taking Philly. Doesn't matter. Philly's going to win this game.
All right, we're going to pump the brakes a little bit because it is only 11 o'clock. We have 45 minutes till Donald Jones. We just got to do a little bit of fantasy so we can slow down just a little bit. I'm trying to like get everything in here. We have not a Pros versus Joe game. We have Cleveland traveling to Kansas City. Kansas City, 7.5-point favorites. Are you ready for prophecy time?
Oh, pigskin prophecy. Hold on a second. Let me do that right. Pigskin. No, that didn't work.
The wrong.
Yeah, it says FX
right next to it.
Yeah, there it is.
Okay.
Pigskin Prophecy. I almost know what I'm doing.
Well, that was pretty good. You sounded like you were from the heaven.
The future.
Yes.
Cleveland has Jason Campbell starting in this game. Every sign points to Kansas City winning this game, winning it big. I got Cleveland. Not just with the spread. I got Cleveland straight up in this game.
What?
I have Cleveland winning this game 17-14.
Ooh.
It's Kansas City's defense always comes to play. I'm going to say that Kansas City's defense has a defensive touchdown. Okay? So I have Cleveland winning the game.
Okay.
I have the score 17-14. Kansas City's defense has at least one touchdown in this game. And Willis McGahee runs for 75 yards.
Ooh.
That's what I have for the day.
You know, I thought that was salt you were putting out on that mirror in front of you. Apparently not.
It's coke. It's coke. It's meth, Breaking Bad.
I think you are straight up out of your mind bananas. Kansas City wins this game easily.
Okay. Listen, I'm okay with being wrong.
I know.
One beautiful thing about doing the prophecy segment, which has been kind of impromptu now, if it comes out, I look like a genius. If it doesn't, hey, it was a prophecy. It was a long shot to begin with. I'm not going to go, oh, here's my prophecy. Kansas City's going to win the game by 15.
And Nostradamus wasn't right all the time.
Nostradamus was never right.
True.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to pick the obvious.
Right.
I never want to choose the obvious thing. But I'm going with that. That's my prophecy for the week. So I'm giving you four prophecies in one game. Because there's nothing else this week. When I looked at it, I didn't like anything.
Right.
So I'm going with that.
Wow.
All right.
A drug-induced prophecy from Christopher Esposito.
Yes.
You can't spell Espo without ESP.
Yes. We have Pros versus Joe game. Buffalo traveling to New Orleans to take on the Saints. New Orleans is 11-point favorites. Joe, start us off. By the way, the Saints are probably wearing black.
Okay. So you see now, I would normally go with the Saints. Excuse me, the Buffalo guys, because they'd be wearing white. But I'm going to go with the Saints. And normally I would go with the Buffalo because it's much stronger than the Saints. Saints are really like, But I'm going with the Saints. New Orleans are going to win that game because whatever I figure, I'm using the George Costanza method.
But the team name isn't the Buffalo Buffaloes.
Aren't they the Buffalo Bills anymore?
The Buffalo Bills, yes.
Yeah. They're just saying, he said they're the Buffalo. So.
Well, they're from Buffalo. Yeah. Well, what is Bills? Bills, what is a Bill? Something I got to pay?
It's a bison.
Well.
Are you going with New Orleans or not?
Yes, I'm going with New Orleans.
I'm going with New Orleans as well. Okay. I think it's over by the half.
Yeah.
I got the Saints in this game.
Who doesn't, honestly?
Will's got it as well.
It's almost a no-brainer. Sorry to Donald Jones if we're insulting you, if you're listening, in between innings. But
it'd be great if he was. He just has an earpiece in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Playing left
now, field. You know that's the game that Buffalo's going to win because we all picked the Saints.
It's a good possibility, Joe, but I really don't.
I think they're listening and they're going to play just harder.
I certainly hope the Buffalo Bills locker room is
fuck
listening.
Fuck us up. Yeah.
I think New Orleans actually covers the spread, too. 11 points is nothing at home. If this game was in Buffalo, I would change my tune.
Really think they'll cover the spread?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Call Louis Knuckles and put in your numbers.
Prognosticator.
We have New England at home, 6.5 favorites against Miami. Not a Pros versus Joe game, just a straight up for us. I got New England and I got the points.
Yeah, I would take New England on the points too. New England's a little upset over that loss last week. Tom Brady didn't score a touchdown. I think he's going to do everything he possibly can to rectify that situation
and
just smack around Miami.
Gronkowski was effective against the Jets linebackers. Miami's linebackers are just as anemic. I like New England in this game. I think Gronkowski's
going to
have over 100 and a touch.
Yeah.
He's
going to find that end zone at least once.
That's a safe bet. Not a Pros versus Joe game. We have the New York football Jets traveling to Cincinnati. Cincinnati's 5-point favorites in this game. The way the Jets have gone all year, it's been win-loss, 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 win. I think they win again. I'm going to ride the hot hand with the Jets.
Good for you.
I say the Jets will cover the spread of the 5 points. I think the Jets win the game straight up 24-23.
I disagree with you. I'm picking Cincinnati in this game. Andy Dalton has many more weapons than the Jets have.
Agreed. Agreed.
I think Andy Dalton's going to have a day. He's been averaging around 300 yards a game. Geno Smith. Listen, I'm taking nothing away from this kid. He's done some good things with nothing, essentially.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. Straight up, I'm picking the Bengals, but I do think if I had to pick with the spread, I would pick the Jets. I think it's going to be close.
Yeah, I want to see the Jets play ball control, and I think that's where the difference is between them and the Bengals. The Jets run the ball better. They have three viable running backs with Bilal Powell, Chris Ivory, and Goodson. Very viable running backs. Even Tommy Bohannon can shoulder the load a little bit.
Right.
I don't want to see Chris Ivory carry the ball 34 times like he did last week. But
no, he's going to wind up dead if that happens.
Yeah, I got him 24-23.
All right.
Pros versus Joe.
Ooh, good.
Oakland at home. 2.5-point underdogs against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Wow.
Go ahead, Will. Start us off. Steelers at Raiders.
Steelers at Raiders. I got to be honest with you, man. I mean, I like what Oakland's been showing us lately. I was disappointed with the way Pittsburgh was playing. Pittsburgh's come around the last couple of weeks, done some decent things. I think they're going to start rolling. Ben Roethlisberger is too good a quarterback to continue his losing ways like that. I'm going to say Pittsburgh, and they cover the spread.
Okay. Joe?
Yeah, I don't like Pittsburgh because that's the team I would have went with. So I'm going to take Oakland because I don't think they're going to – I personally don't think Oakland's going to win, but they'll probably win just because I don't think they're going to win. This is my reverse psychology for this week. If it works, I will be doing it all the time.
Okay. Well, I'm taking the Steelers also. I'm riding that hot hand. I think they go three wins in a row.
Okay.
Oakland actually ties into my stardom sit-em. Terrell Pryor is my sit of the week this week. A little bit of a spoiler alert on that one.
Okay.
Terrell Pryor, I don't like against that defense. I like Le'Veon Bell. I like the way Pittsburgh's starting to hum. I'll go with the Steelers in that game.
All right.
We have another pros versus Joe game.
Ooh.
Denver at home, 11.5-point favorites against the Bravehearts. I'm taking Denver in this game. Peyton Manning doesn't lose back-to-back games, especially with that offense. And at home, I'm taking Denver straight up, and I'm taking Denver given the points.
Let's see. You know what? I'm going to pick Denver straight up, but I think Washington covers the spread.
Okay, that's fair.
Well, this was a hunch bet with me because, you know, well, Will came in talking about a Denver omelet this morning. So, just a coincidence. It has to be something in the stars, so I'm going to go with Denver.
Okay.
All right.
Using Kawinky Dink as his, wow.
No,
are you sure those are fiber pills you're taking, Jeff?
I was getting a little boner there.
Yeah.
Well, this is actually the next game I didn't pick for pros versus Joe because I gave this to Joe for his ham radio NFL picks and punishment
you
segment.
Stop telling me yes,
this,
pick here.
This was actually an interesting analysis.
Okay. Yeah, it's the Battle of the Birds, Arizona at home, 2.5-point favorites against Atlanta. I have Atlanta in this game covering. I have the Atlanta winning outright. Yeah, I have no other analysis on this game except for I think this game is going to be a snooze fest and Atlanta's going to wind up winning.
Ooh.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, they got Harry Douglas.
So I should bet Atlanta?
Yeah, I hope you took Atlanta when I said during the punishment segment.
You got to start giving me the winner already.
I think he picked it. I think he did pick the Falcons because they were a bigger bird than the Cardinals.
They sure are.
But I think he also mentioned something about the Cardinals being prettier. I don't know.
Oh, Jesus.
And it's tough for Joe because they both wear black, red, and white.
Yeah.
That's
it's tough. Usually he goes for color.
I know. And I'm very close to kissing somebody's ass.
Yeah.
And I don't want to.
And now I'm in Uncle Eddie's back pocket, apparently, because I have to give him the nudge, nudge, wink, wink game.
Right.
And I gave him Denver over Washington.
Right.
So if I want to continue to record in the studio, I got to start doing the same for Joe.
And yes.
Yeah, there's not even any. No. Yes. There's nothing after that.
I have to win.
No, Christopher, that would never.
My God.
All right. So as we've gone on, and if you've listened to the last 9 weeks now, you've understood Joe's love for the Green Bay Packers.
I hate them. They're a bunch of fags.
Well, too bad. Pros versus Joe this week. I broke the rules. Green Bay on the road, 8.5-point favorites against Minnesota. This is our last game of a Pros versus Joe. I'm taking Green Bay in this game. It is an absolute no-brainer that Green Bay walks all over Minnesota.
I don't care what you say. They're gonna die. It's Minnesota will win because I'm gonna go in there and make a novena. I'm going to church now, and I'm gonna make a novena for them. So
you and Purple Jesus Phil Rea.
That's right. They will not win. They will not win. I'm gonna say it in my mind 100 times.
I could honestly say that, Will, I already penciled you down for the Packers in this game.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
how could anybody win with cheese on their head? You know, it almost tells you that they're a dick.
Anybody who's not circumcised.
Oh. Well, Joe, maybe if you ate a little more cheese, you wouldn't be so constipated.
Oh.
Dairy, it's good for you.
No, I thought the cheese did constipate you. Clogged you.
Oh, it doesn't do that for me.
No. To be honest, I love cheese.
Depends. If I eat Swiss, oof,
yeah.
Bad news.
Yeah, I will say this, though. I think Adrian Peterson comes back to form in this game. I think he's going to have about 100 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, that's a safe bet. Is that a Will Sweeney prophecy?
That's going to be my awful pigskin prophecy for the week.
Okay.
And rounding out the Monday night game is Seattle, 11.5-point favorites in St. Louis. They're 11.5-point favorites. Kellen Clemens is starting for St. Louis. One expert has written down that Seattle will win this game 28-2. I got Seattle winning this game 35-3. It's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah, I don't expect much to come out of this game other than Seattle just walking out with a big strut. St. Louis's defense is subpar at best. No Sam Bradford really kind of hurts them, although I do want to see Kellen Clemens do something good because of Jay Cutler going down, I had to scramble for a quarterback. And Nick Foles out with a concussion. He has a favorable matchup next week against the Raiders. I can't pick him up because now Michael Vick's a starter again. So unless Michael Vick gets hurt and Nick Foles gets cleared, I am stuck with Sam Bradford as my quarterback for next week.
I could always trade you Joe Flacco. Keep that in mind.
What would you want for Joe Flacco?
We'll talk about it later. Throw that out there. Anywho. And then we have the Thursday night game, which will be on Thanksgiving. And how apropos,
Thanksgiving?
I'm sorry, on Halloween. And how apropos, the black and orange Cincinnati Bengals will be on the road against the Miami Dolphins. Early opening spread for that game is Cincinnati favored by a punt. Cincinnati's going to murder that team.
Yeah, that's a good idea. They should all wear scary costumes, you know, when they play. I mean, you know, football's a pretty rough game, and you know, if you had like the, Mel Gibson movies, the early movies where they used to wear all that, you know, bones in their nose and
what,
everything.
Mad Max?
Mad Max. Yeah, thank you. I couldn't think of it. You know, they should all dress like those Mad Max characters, and you know, because that's what football is. You know, really scary shit.
Well, I mean, if you wanted to, at this point, J.J. Watt seems to come out of every game with a bloody nose. So I mean. You could just line him, have him play every Thanksgiving.
I wonder if they would allow that if you got to put a bone through his nose or something like that. You know, like the or wear makeup. You know, like really like scary makeup.
I don't see why they wouldn't allow that. Really, well, they you know what the NFL was pretty strict about that.
Yeah,
I mean they let you do the eye black.
Yeah, I'll give you my lock of the week for next week though. Jacksonville won't lose because they're on a bye.
There you go.
Yay!
Nice.
All right,
and the Giants are on a bye also.
There's my pigskin prophecy.
Anyway,
terrible, all right, so yeah, I'm going to take Cincinnati next week right now. But anywho, that's it when it comes to our lovely week eight review preview.
Week 8/early week 9.
Yes. So with that being said, it's time to take another quick break. And then when we get back, we're going to go fantasy football. This will be a quick little break. Do fantasy football, start them and sit them. And hopefully by 11:45, Donald Jones will be calling in, former NFL wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills, 2010 draft pick, tattoos and touchdowns, More Like Radio. It's not FM, it's not XM. We'll be back after this.
Warning, listening to More Like Radio in large quantities may result in the following in no specific order.
Shenanigans, pure stupidity, anal leakage, bleeding from the ears, melting eyes, internal bleeding, loss of brain cells, delusions of invincibility, delusions of grandeur, loss of dignity and or balance, imagined gains in height, fitness, and sexual prowess, inability to correctly judge sexual appeal of yourself or others, and athlete's foot.
Audience participation is welcomed. If not, screw you! Thank you for listening. High Society Radio is now part of MoreLikeRadio.com.
Who's all part of the More Like Radio cavalcade of stars? Who are you joining there?
Oh, well, Hippo Juice, they're the soul behind More Right. Like Radio. And we're jumping on there. High Society Radio, that is.
What other kind of shows are over there, though?
Oh, there's plenty. There's just a roster that's ridiculous. There's 360 on 420. Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman show. There's Ain't Social Gamer Radio. There's the Red Show. There's Daytime Divas.
Okay, so you're not out there by yourself in the cold anymore.
No.
You're fucking with...
a family.
Yeah, a real family. A family of gangsters.
Take the edge off. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's like rap music you can understand.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were gonna say that, and I was gonna ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At tfury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, it looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRTs. That's tinyurl.com/MLRTEES. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs.
Do you have an unusual growth on your genitals? Did your significant other dump you? Lust and Love, where we might not be able to help you, but at least we'll get a good laugh at your expense. Lust and Love, Mondays from 10 to midnight on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Welcome back, Tattoos and Touchdowns, MoreLikeRadio.com, every Sunday, 10 a.m. to noon, bringing you everything you need to know about the NFL.
You can't play songs like this, as much as I love Pantera, you can't play songs like this when I have nothing around to, like, if I sneeze the wrong way and I go anywhere near any of the equipment, Joe's going to kill me. So, remember what happened with Eddie. I want to break something when I hear music like this. It's phenomenal.
Why don't you break open a Tootsie Roll?
Oh, they're See? Not even a sponsor.
No, they're not, but they're delicious.
Chocolatey goodness. That's what happens every morning after I drink a cup of coffee.
Oh.
What? I'm allowed to do lowbrow poop jokes on...
Poopy joke.
Anyway.
All right. So, it's that time. We're going to get into a little fantasy football for everybody. Start us off, Chris. Quarterbacks.
Start of the week, RG3 against Denver.
Wow.
Start of the week. As much as I think Denver's going to win this game and they're going to bounce back, I think it's going to be another shootout. RG3 did great stuff against a better Chicago Bear defense than Denver. I like RG3 this week.
All right. I'm going Colin Kaepernick against the Jaguars. Easy pick. Easy pick. I mean, he's going to be able to pass. I mean, he's only getting about 100 yards a game.
Yeah.
He's not doing great things. But if you look at his week one game, 414 yards in week one, I think he's going to have similar stats this week against the Jaguars.
Okay. My sit of the week is going to be Terrell Pryor, like I said before when we were doing the preview. I do not like Terrell Pryor against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has a swarming defense, which is going to limit Terrell Pryor's rollout and tuck and run ability. I think Polamalu has a big day against Pryor as well as against the Oakland receivers. Sit Terrell Pryor at all costs.
I'm going to sit Geno Smith against the Bengals. I think this is Geno Smith's week to just kind of be like, sorry, guys, I'm doing my best, but I just can't do it.
My sleeper of the week, if healthy and plays the full game, will be Mike Vick against the Giants. Giants beat a team last week that should, for all intents and purposes, should be 0-0 the season. I think Vic has a field day against the Giants secondary.
He always does.
Yeah.
Always does.
Yeah.
The only reason I'm picking this one as a sleeper is because a lot of people are saying to sit him, Alex Smith against the Browns.
Okay.
I think Alex Smith is going to have a field day against the Cleveland Browns defense.
Oh, right.
I don't know why you would want to sit Alex Smith. He's been having a great year.
Yeah. He really has. There's no, he's been everything Kansas City could have hoped for, and Andy Reid and the Kansas City front office look like geniuses for getting him.
Right. Now, let me put this out there real quick, because we have a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
Who is kicking themselves in the ass harder right now? The Philadelphia Eagles for getting rid of Andy Reid, or the San Francisco 49ers for getting rid of Alex Smith?
I'm going to give you option C, which is neither.
Okay.
And I'll say neither because San Francisco wanted to go in this direction. They had Alex Smith, and they never wanted Alex Smith. And then when Harbaugh came in, that kind of sealed the deal. They really didn't want Alex Smith. They wanted to go with the Kaepernick era.
Right.
When it came to Philly, you know how Philly fans can be. They booed Santa Claus. And I'll keep using that. As it sounds funny, but it's the truth. They're never happy.
Right.
Ask Uncle Eddie. He's a big-time Eagles fan.
Yeah.
Never happy.
It's the only thing I don't like about Uncle Eddie.
Yeah. He loves his adult film stars, but he's never happy after that.
Right.
I wanna say, if I had to pick between the two, I would say San Francisco, only because the quarterback makes the team. But in Philly, Andy Reid, it was time for a change.
Okay.
It was time for a change.
He was there for like 14 years.
Him and Mike Vick, if you're going to go along the Mike Vick route, is oil and water. They just don't mix. If I have to pick one of the two, I would go with San Francisco. But other than that, I wouldn't say either.
I would agree with you with the 49ers, only because based on what he's doing this year, he would have a better year as if he was with San Francisco, because he has more weapons, and San Francisco would be having a better year if they had Alex Smith in lieu of Colin Kaepernick. Just my opinion.
No, it's well said.
Just my opinion. And I told you I didn't last year. For those of you who haven't followed us from with our progression up to More Like Radio, last year when Alex Smith was sat for Colin Kaepernick and he was named the starter after the concussion, I told you I didn't like the way it went down. I told you I thought Alex Smith was a better quarterback.
It was shady.
Yeah, but it is what it is.
Yep.
Heading on over to the running back position, back to fantasy. Chris, who are we starting this week?
Le'Veon Bell against Oakland.
Okay.
He's my start of the week. He put up 90 yards against a better Baltimore Raven defense. I think he goes for 110 today. Finally, another running back to break 100 yards. It hasn't really happened that much this season.
Right.
The benefit in Pittsburgh is they have Felix Jones as their backup. There's not much else past Le'Veon Bell.
Okay.
I got Le'Veon Bell as my start of the week.
All right. I'm going to go with Eddie Lacy against the Vikings.
That's another easy pick. It's a safe pick.
Eddie Lacy has been flirting with 100. He's gone over 100 yards twice. He's been flirting with it a couple of times. Minnesota's running defense, I mean, granted, they held the Giants to under 50 yards per rusher last week. But the Giants don't have a very good rushing game.
Right.
Eddie Lacy is a much better running back than what the Giants have. Eddie Lacy's probably going to go for about 100 yards on a touchdown.
Yeah, it's a safe play. It's a safe play. My sit of the week is MJD against San Francisco. I do not like that matchup. Could just pile on the fact that Jacksonville has no offensive line. MJD, how the mighty have fallen. Think about 3 years ago, how great he was.
Him and Justin Forsett both were animals a couple years ago.
Yeah, and it's a recipe for disaster. I think MJD barely breaks 40 yards today.
All right. I hate to do this to you, Chris, but you got to sit Chris Ivory against the Bengals.
I still think the Jets as a whole have a good running game.
They do.
But on an individual basis, you're 100% right. Don't start a Jets running back today unless you have all three, and then you could plug them all in, two running backs and a flex.
Right. Yeah, I don't think Chris Ivory's going to be able to do much of anything against the Bengals this week. So,
who's your sleeper?
My sleeper. I'm going to put him as a sleeper mainly because he just really hasn't done a whole hell of a lot this season. Stevon Ridley against the Dolphins. I don't think the Dolphins' front defensive line is that good. I don't think their linebackers are really that good. And I think he's a quality running back. Hasn't hit his groove yet this season. I think he's going to find his groove this week.
My sleeper of the week to tie into my pigskin prophecy is Willis McGahee. I know he's playing the Kansas City defense, and I said the Kansas City defense is going to have at least one defensive touchdown. I still think McGahee rushes for 75 yards today.
All right.
If he's your number two or he's your flex and you have a guy on a bye this week, like if you have Ray Rice, I think it's a safe play.
All right. Fair enough. Heading on over to the wide receiver position.
The deepest position in fantasy in the last 5 years.
Yeah, well,
wide receiver position. It's ridiculous.
It's an absolute passing league, and it really can't be touched.
Mm-hmm. Who was your start O the week?
Start O the week. Wow. I'm going to sit there and say Eric Decker against the Redskins. No. Let me change it. Wes Welker against the Redskins. Eric Decker had his big week last week. Wes Welker will have his big week this week.
Yeah.
That seems to be the way it's been rotating between the
yeah,
two.
Yeah, and he's been kicking Demaryius Thomas in the nuts. I made such – my big fantasy league, I took Peyton Manning, and I had to handcuff him to one of the Denver Bronco wide receivers, and I feel like I've made the mistake right now. I handcuffed him to Demaryius Thomas, where if I would have handcuffed him to Decker, I'd actually be better than 3-4 right now. I lost 2 weeks in a row. Anyway,
right. Continue.
You like the Welker play?
Yeah, okay. I like the Welker play. It's really that simple.
My start of the week, because I'm keeping my fingers crossed on this one, is Marquise Colston against Buffalo. Marquise Colston had a subpar week 2 weeks ago, and Jimmy Graham is a game-time decision. Jimmy Graham is out. The onus will be put on Marquise Colston, or Marquez Colston. Yeah, he's my start of the week.
All right, fair enough. Sit of the week. Oh, man. I'm going to sit Mike Wallace against the Patriots. I don't think the Dolphins are really going to do much of anything.
Those games have always been really close. The Mike Wallace, if Aqib Talib is healthy, Aqib will be the one who mans up on Wallace. That's a shutdown situation.
Right.
I'm actually going to stay in that game and flip it around. My sit of the week is any New England wide receiver that has not ended the name ends in Gronkowski. Any New England wide receiver. I was gonna single out Amendola. I was gonna single out Kemble Tompkins. As mediocre as Miami's front seven is as good as their secondary is.
Okay.
Gronkowski's gonna have a monster day. But if I had to single out one New England wide receiver, it would be Kemble Tompkins. Not like him. Sit him.
All right. Heading on over to the sleepers. Harry Douglas, man. I think he's going to, you know, last week he came out. I think he's going to continue that trend. He's still considered a sleeper, even though he is, what, the number one receiver in Atlanta right now?
Yeah.
He's going against Arizona's defense. It's weak. Easy pick.
Sleeper of the week for me is Riley Cooper.
From your mouth to God's ears,
yeah.
Only because I'm expecting a Giants loss, but I need the points in fantasy.
Yeah. The Vic to Cooper, which is funny because of what happened in the offseason, in the preseason, the Vic to Cooper connection is very formidable. DeSean Jackson's going to get his points. We all know that. DeSean Jackson is a giant killer. Riley Cooper's going to have a huge day. And I have a question for you as we get into... I'm sorry, who's your sleeper? You had Harry Douglas, right?
Okay.
I just didn't want to cut you off on anything.
Sure.
As we get to tight ends, I have a question for you.
Okay.
In one of my leagues, I have Jared Cook. And I have a guy that just completely forgot who it is.
Pick him.
Thanks. Oh, I'm sorry. I have Brent Celek.
Oh.
That's herein lies the problem. Brent Celek has been horrendous all season. There's no other tight ends to pick up on short notice.
Right.
But Brent Celek historically has been a giant killer.
Yeah.
Jared Cook has been mediocre at best all season, but he does get me anywhere between 6 and 10 points a week. But he's playing Monday night with no quarterback against the Seattle Seahawks defense.
Yeah.
What do I do?
I would say Brent Celek, only because of his history of being a giant killer.
Now, I posed that question on NFL.com.
Right.
I got a 50-50 split out of 50 people. It went 25-25, Celek and Cook.
Wow.
I'm literally, I don't know what to do.
I would say Brent Celek.
Okay.
I put out a tight end question this week also on the NFL.com.
I'm actually changing it as we speak.
You certainly are. Vernon Davis or Josh Reed?
Josh Reed from Washington?
Yeah. Josh Reed's been putting up some monster numbers the last few weeks.
Yeah, but Vernon Davis, I think, against Jacksonville, I would actually start Reed.
Really?
I would start Reed. I don't like Jacksonville's defense, but their defensive line. I like Posluszny would line up against Vernon Davis all day. And on a lesser extent, Jonathan Cyprian from the safety position would be the double team. I like Reed over against Denver over Vernon Davis.
Wow, you and I aren't playing each other this week, right? Because you're not trying to set me up.
No, all right. I'm playing Team Grimace this week.
All right. I will reevaluate that when we go to break.
All right. So we got tight end position now that we've talked about all this. My start of the week, Rob Gronkowski. Like, come on.
You gotta.
Especially if Jimmy Graham is out, Rob Gronkowski.
Don't be mad at me. Let me move this crystal ball away from you. Tony Gonzalez against the Cardinals.
Up yours.
Come on.
I know.
I would start you against the Cardinals.
I talk a lot of crap. But Tony Gonzalez is pound for pound the greatest tight end to ever play the game. I get that. I'd still rather Mark Bavaro in a fight. Take a punch. Anyway.
Mark Bavaro.
Anyway, The position is revolutionized. Yeah, Tony Gonzalez is a no-brainer in that situation. My sit of the week. Wow. How about that one, huh?
Yeah.
Pick your poison on that. Brandon Myers against Philadelphia.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one.
I don't like the Giants' offense in this game. I really don't. I haven't liked Brandon Myers all year. I think he's been a bust. I'll sit Brandon Myers.
Brandon Myers has been average at best. At best. This season. My sit for the week, kind of an odd choice, Jordan Cameron against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Bite your tongue, young man. Bite your tongue.
Sorry, brother.
I think Jordan Cameron's almost had a better season than Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, but he's going up against Kansas City. That's why I want to sit him.
My sleeper of the week is Kyle Rudolph against Green Bay. Again, hopeful. Not too hopeful, though, because I think Team Grimace has him. I like Kyle Rudolph again. Green Bay's linebacking core is horrendous, and they still don't have Clay Matthews. So.
Yeah. Brent Celek against the Giants.
Yay!
He's a giant killer. And again, like you said, he's been pedestrian at best all season. He's going to have a breakout game this week.
Okay.
All right, we're going to the mopeds.
Fat girls and mopeds. It's going to be a spin-off show.
All about the kicking position in the NFL.
Yes, all about the kicking position. No, not about ladies. Just.
Oh, and speaking of which, we mentioned last week that I had a kicker a couple of years ago who actually won me games. It was Neil Rakers.
Neil Rakers, okay. For some reason, I thought Prater.
No. He Neil Rakers, this one particular season, he was kicking for the Cardinals, and he was just kicking them from like 80 yards away and just scoring me huge points.
Start of the week, Steven Hauschka against St. Louis. I said it's going to be like 35-3. Here's hoping that the St. Louis defense clamps a little bit and you get some field goal points.
Right, I just
don't want five extra points. But, Steven Hauschka.
Dan Bailey against the Lions.
Okay.
I think he's going to have a couple of extra points, but I think he's going to be field goal heavy this week.
My sit of the week is Caleb Sturgis against New England. Up until about 2 weeks ago, the boy was automatic. And then against Buffalo, he started to falter. I sit Caleb Sturgis this week. I mean, honestly, how would you even have two kickers on your team? Shame on you for wasting a roster spot.
I do.
Shame on you. I don't care that you're 6-1. Shame on you.
I have two good kickers. And
I know.
I alternate them, honestly.
I know. It's the smart thing to do. This is the first year I've completely abandoned the two-kicker rule.
Right.
I usually keep two just to flip-flop.
You know what? This year it just happened when I went into auto-draft because I was having some connection issues.
Right.
It drafted me a backup at my kicking position, and I looked at the two, and I'm like, they're equally as good, and I just flip-flop them based on matchup.
Right.
And so far it's worked for me. I'm sitting down Blair Walsh against the Packers.
Okay.
I don't think the Packers defense is going to let them get very close to doing a whole hell of a lot.
Okay. And we refuse the sleeper position for the fat girls.
No such thing.
But
going on to defense.
Defense wins championships. Defense wins fantasy league. Will, who's your start of the week?
Packers against Minnesota. Even without Clay Matthews. It's Minnesota's offense is that bad right now, especially with Josh Freeman throwing that ball. I think Green Bay is going to wind up getting two picks out of this game, and they probably they're going to force at least one fumble on a sack.
Okay.
Pigskin prophecy for Will.
Ooh.
So.
I was just looking to see if anybody was humming in the chat room today. Crickets in that chat room.
Yeah, I see that.
That's all right. I think Jeff has a hangover. That's why he's not in there.
Yeah, probably.
My start of the week. How could you not? Seattle against St. Louis.
Yeah.
It was either them or Kansas City against Cleveland. Flip a coin. I still think Cleveland is going to win that game. But, Seattle against St. Louis. That Seattle defense is probably going to have about four interceptions. A forced fumble. They'll probably have like 40 points this week.
Who are we sitting down this week?
Who am I sitting? The Vikings. I quickly dropped the Vikings. I had the Vikings starting in two leagues, and they played the Giants. And as the game was going on, I wanted to drop them as the game was happening. Like, just don't worry about it. I got a point from those idiots. So, yeah, don't start the Vikings against the Packers.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't do that.
As we speak right now, Aaron Rodgers is sitting at his locker with a handful of Stick'Em, enjoying himself.
Wow, that's got hurt.
Yeah, whatever.
All right.
Lefty.
All right. I'm sitting the Bills against the Saints.
Oh yeah.
I don't think that Bills defense is going to be able to handle the Saints offense. Even, you know, they're not as high powered as they used to be, but they're high powered enough that they're going to make the Bills look silly.
Sleeper defense of the week is going to be Philly against the Giants. Philly only gave up 17 points against Dallas. They looked a lot better. I go with Philly.
All right. That's a fair pick. Sleeper only because they haven't been doing a whole lot this season so far. Steelers against the Raiders.
Okay.
I think Steelers are going to get to Pryor. I think Polamalu is coming out with a pick. I just think it's a pretty easy matchup.
It's a safe play. It goes hand in hand with my sit of the week being Terrell Pryor. So
right.
Will and I are on the same page. That's why we're co-hosts.
Something like that. All right. All right, let's do this. We got about 10 minutes before Donald Jones calls in.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to cut to a very quick break. When we come back, we're going to check the week's inactives. And then hopefully by the time we're done with that, Mr. Jones will be calling us up, chat with us a little bit. You are listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com, and we will be back after this.
Hey, Danielle, you know when you're watching the news and you see those really dumb people?
Yeah.
You know how you just want to make fun of them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you can. All you got to do is take those really stupid articles or videos that you see online and send it to us at dumbass@thesullyshowonline.com.
What's that address again?
It's dumbass@thesullyshowonline.com, and we might just use it for the show.
Right here on morelikeradio.com, Sundays, noon to 2.
Wrestling's fake.
Oh, yeah?
Jesus!
The organization that brought you Tangled Web, Tournament of Death, and Prelude to Violence. 15 years of hardcore tradition. The Combat Zone is professional wrestling's proving grounds. Combat Zone doesn't do PG. No ballroom dancers or pimps shucking and jiving in our ring. Just the biggest names in independent professional wrestling.
Masada.
Oh my God! What? Oh, yes. What the hell?
Adam Cole.
Only in pro wrestling can two men kill each other and then follow it up with a hug covered in blood.
Danny Havoc.
Oh no! 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 God. Oh no!
Drake Younger.
Just moving your body on the canvas. Painful? God. Not as painful as that. Yeah.
CZW features the ultimate hybrid style of high-flying mat wrestling combined with hardcore, death-defying action the other promotions wish they were allowed to show you. Get the latest news on live events, internet pay-per-views, and more. Or score yourself a classic CZW t-shirt from their online store. Support the ultra-violent underground. Go to czwrestling.com or follow Combat Zone on Twitter.
Even when Conti and Kenny are getting lessons about technology, it always becomes...
fucking PC.
It's more.
There's a little gray drop-down box.
There
arrow.
Is not. Not when someone's calling you, Joey.
I never want to see a gray drop-down box. Unless it's my grandmother's funeral.
Then you're kneeling at the wrong end, stupid.
Hello?
Welcome back. You're listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns. We just got a phone call. Is this Donald Jones?
How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man? How's everything?
Everything's good. I might sound a little winded. I just got off the kick pad. So.
Yeah, how was the game today, by the way?
Oh, the game is going good. We're winning 5-3.
Nice.
I just got hit by a pitch, so.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. That's a gutsy performer. He's actually calling us while he's playing. That's fantastic.
You're not standing on first base right now, are you?
No. We're actually out in the field. I have to have my one of the backup left fielders go out for me.
Oh, all right. Now, let me ask you this, because you've obviously taken some hits from some NFL players. Which hurts more, getting hit by a baseball or getting hit by a cornerback or a safety?
Getting hit by a baseball definitely hurts more because they're throwing.
All
90
right.
miles an hour, so that stings a little bit more.
All right. So, for everybody who doesn't know, Donald Jones, NFL wide receiver formerly of the Buffalo Bills. Pull up the drive. Mm-hmm. You got drafted in 2010. What round did you go?
You know what? I wasn't drafted at all, and I wasn't drafted because of my rare kidney disease that I have.
Okay.
So I went undrafted.
All right. So
yeah.
There you go. Shows you how much attention I paid the show prep. Thanks.
Yeah, I had a fourth round grade, and when the combine time came around, my health condition came out.
Okay.
I ended up going undrafted, and I became a starter my first year, and I never looked back.
All right. Excellent. So
yeah.
Now you started out in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Your first ever touchdown came against the Cincinnati Bengals.
That's right.
What was that feeling like crossing the end zone for the first time with the ball?
Well, that feeling was like probably one of the happiest times of my career, my first NFL touchdown. And I always said that I was going to dance. And when I got in the end zone, I couldn't really think of a dance to do. I did like a bunch of nothing. When I got home, all my boys that were watching on TV were like, "Come on, man, you gotta do something a little bit better than that."
So in the AFC East, who was the toughest cornerback that you would face up in man coverage on a play by play basis?
It was always, of course, Cromartie and Revis.
Okay.
You know, those two guys are two of the best in the game. And for the most part, Revis would stay on Stevie, but he would every now and then come to me.
Right.
Cromartie stayed on me a lot, but Cromartie is good too, as you can see.
Yeah, now is Cromartie as physical as advertised? Because he looks very handsy at the line when there's that initial exchange.
You know what? I think that Cromartie has changed his style a bit and become a little bit more physical because he has the tools to be physical. He's a tall corner, very long arm. So he definitely has the tools to be physical. But when I was playing, he was more of the type to let you run by and then catch up. so he wouldn't really touch you at the line of scrimmage. Now he might feel like he's getting a little bit older, so he has to do something and not let you off the line of scrimmage.
Right, so Crow had good finishing speed. What finishing speed is for anybody who's listening, is when the quarterback throws the ball, wide receiver's going to get the ball. If the corner or the safety has a little bit like a five-yard gap, he'll be able to close the gap and make that play.
All right.
Exactly. So you have some corners that play like that. So Revis's technique is totally different than Cromartie's. Revis is going to not let you off the line. He's going to stay right with you. Cromartie would let you go by and try to catch up. And a lot of Deion Sanders used to do that because a lot of the times they wouldn't throw his way. So he would try to bait the quarterback into throwing and let you run. And it looks like you're open and the quarterback throws it. Next thing you know, going back the other way and it's prime time.
Now, I was going over your career stats. As a whole, you have 82 receptions, 887 yards, and 6 touchdowns for your NFL career. Now, as I was going down game by game, you seem to have your best games against the Patriots every season.
I'm officially a Donald Jones fan more than ever now because I'm a huge Jets fan, and you just abused the Patriots. So thank you.
that was, you know, the Patriots are always on top of the division. So that's the game. I mean, every division game and every game in the NFL, you got to be ready and be ready to perform. But that Patriots game is like everybody's watching, so I need to show and prove.
Now, what was it about the Patriots that did you have a dislike for the Patriots, or was it just does it just happen to be coincidence that you seem to have your biggest games of the season against the Patriots?
I think it was it's a mixture of both.
Okay.
I think nobody, if you don't play for the Patriots, you don't like the Patriots. And if you're not a fan of the Patriots.
Amen, Donald. Like Amen.
You know, there's those teams out there, a lot of the Cowboys, the Lakers, you know, just those teams that if you don't like them, you hate them. So, you know, that's how I go into that. I didn't like the Patriots at all at that time.
All right. Now, before we go into the reason you retired, I just want to ask you one question.
Mm-hmm.
Out of every NFL quarterback in history, is there one quarterback you wish you could have caught a pass from?
Oh, man. Out of every quarterback, that's a toss-up between, of course, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. I didn't get a chance to play the game with him, but those two guys are definitely the guys that you would want to catch passes from. But, I mean, it's a toss-up between those two and Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees.
Okay.
Those four guys, they spread the ball around so good. Everybody on the team is eating, as we like to say in the NFL. Everybody eats.
Now, you had Ryan Fitzpatrick as your quarterback, correct?
Correct.
Okay. What was his presence like in the huddle? Did he now, because I've seen on certain things where it looks like the quarterback commands a certain presence. When you look at Tom Brady, he gets a little bit more animated than some other quarterbacks. What was his presence like in the huddle? Was he someone who commanded attention, or was he someone that delegated the work to everybody?
Ryan Fitzpatrick is like a clown. You know, he's the type of guy that would like walk in the locker room with. One time he walked in the locker room and he had some jeans on and he cut out the crotch to him. So he's just walking around
Christ.
The locker room like that. So those are the type of things that he did off the field. And on the field it was the same way. When we got into the huddle, he would kind of try to make jokes so that guys wouldn't be so tight and stressed out because of the game. He would kind of try to, you know, get guys relaxed.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. Excellent. Now, you were actually you were released by the Bills earlier this year.
Yeah.
And you signed with the Patriots for a short time. Now, was this? Did you want to go to the Patriots? Did you when you got released from the Bills? Did you say I'm going over to New England, or was it just the best option at the time?
At the time, that was the best option. The Patriots do a good job of recruiting. For those who don't know, when you're in free agency, it's just like being recruited to go to college. I mean, they come to you and they kind of talk you up and talk a good game.
Okay.
But usually when you get there, it's a little bit different. But, yeah, I mean, that was just the best option at the time when I left. And I definitely heard it from the Bills fans. And then when I ended up leaving the Patriots, they kind of came back onto my side. So.
Well, we sent out a message to the Bills Mafia. Hopefully we got some of the Bills fans listening today.
Absolutely.
Now, you were forced to retire in August of this year because of your rare kidney disease. What disease is it exactly?
Okay, so I have IgA nephropathy, which is another, it's also called Buerger's disease.
Okay.
So what happens is your kidneys, a lot of protein builds up in your kidneys, and then the protein starts to leak into your bloodstream, and you'll start to get a lot of protein in your urine.
Okay.
And, you know, over time, it just gets worse and worse, and the kidneys eventually fail.
All right. Now, yeah. Is this something that you've had your entire life, or is this something that just happened to develop as you've gotten older?
Well, you know, they say that IgA nephropathy, a lot of the time, a lot of people will have it their whole life and never show signs of it.
Okay.
So I really don't know if I had it my whole life. I was diagnosed my sophomore year in college. So I'm not sure if I had it my whole life. My doctors say I probably did and just never knew about it. But I was diagnosed in college. And then at that point, the doctors wanted to put me on steroids. And it wasn't going to work out taking steroids and playing football.
Right.
Because the steroids make your ligaments a lot weak. They make them a lot more weak. So I decided not to take the steroids and just keep on playing. And you know, I don't have any regrets in doing that to this point, because I got to make it to the NFL and I got to have a decent career.
Okay.
Yeah, and honestly, Donald Jones went to Youngstown State. Not exactly on the grand scheme of things, they're not on the line of the Alabama and USC or something like that. They get so much national coverage. So to even be undrafted to make it to the NFL is a huge accomplishment. So we congratulate you just for that alone.
Well, thank you. I mean, it was coming from where I'm from in New Jersey, you become very tough-minded. And, you know, you kind of learn how to just deal with things and move forward. And me not being drafted was like another thing that I had to overcome, and I definitely overcame.
Yeah. Donald Jones went to Plainfield High School in Plainfield, New Jersey, if anybody listening that's not from the East Coast area.
Yeah. I actually have family that's not far from Plainfield. But now, did you... Were you forced to retire because of this kidney disease because you just couldn't take a hit anymore, or is it just because of the protein buildup was just kind of slowing you down?
Well, over the years playing in the NFL, you have to take pain meds to get through seasons.
Right.
You're not going to make it through a season without getting hurt. So anybody who knows anything about the kidneys, you cannot take pain meds. It's not good, like the aspirins and things like those type of medicines are not good for the kidney. So I was taking that stuff to get through practices and get through games. And over time, not eating right, just not doing right, my kidneys got worse and worse.
Okay.
To the point where my blood pressure was very high. And it just got too much. It got to be too much to play in the NFL because of the overall stress of the game. And then when you're playing in the NFL, you get very dehydrated. There's really no overcoming that.
Okay.
And that's one of the things. You have to stay very hydrated when you have a kidney disease. So
right.
It just got to be too dangerous. And I have a son that, you know, I need to be here for.
Absolutely.
So I just decided it was that time.
Now, you had announced through Twitter, and if anybody wants to follow Donald Jones, it's at DAJones19. You had announced on Twitter that you were retiring. Did you feel that was to be a little bit more connected to your fans, to let them know that way, is to not hear it through the normal channels, a la NFL Network, something along those lines?
Yeah, I think that in this day and age, a lot of people watch. I mean, everybody watches the NFL Network, but everybody is on Twitter, and everybody is on the social network. So I would rather it come from me before they hear it from a reporter.
Okay.
So that's when I decided, you know, me and my agent decided that it was best for me to just announce it before it came out on TV.
Okay.
All right. Now, you're playing baseball in an independent league, obviously, because mm-hmm. you're calling from the dugout. is this something that you're looking at as possibly a second career?
Yeah, I'm definitely, you know, I've been talking to some scouts, and they're very impressed with what I can do. So I decided to come and play in an independent league this year so that I could kind of get back into it. I haven't played since I was in high school.
Okay.
And you know, I decided to come back. Well, I decided to play baseball. Of course, we know, you know, baseball players can make a lot of money. But the biggest thing for me is the motivational aspect of it and just trying to show everybody that anybody who has any type of issues in their life, and we all have issues, that you can overcome anything. And then if you have a health issue, it's not the end of the world. You can overcome this, and, you know, you can do what you set out to do. So that's really the main reason why I'm doing it, is to motivate people all around the world.
All right. Now, what exactly are you promoting right now? There's a couple of kidney sites that your assistant had sent us. You're apparently a spokesman for the IGA.
I'm a spokesman for the IGA Nephropathy Foundation of America.
Okay, I don't know why I couldn't say nephropathy.
You can go to their website, which is iganephropathy.org. I also do work with the NevCure Foundation, and that is nevcure.org. And then I also do work with the National Kidney Foundation. So I do a lot of work and just trying to raise awareness and find a cure for these rare diseases.
All right.
It's good stuff. Obviously, if you're ever in the Staten Island, New York area and you want to come in and give us a little bit of insider analysis, you're more than welcome to be on the show with us.
Well, you know what? Anytime you guys want me to come in, just give me a call or give my assistant a call, and we can make that happen at any time. I mean, I'm 15 minutes from the Gotham Bridge, so.
That's fantastic.
Oh, wow. So you're about 20 minutes away from me. Outstanding.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think we made new friends, Chris.
Yeah, I think we did. I think we did. Well, anybody who beats up on the Patriots is a friend of mine. Donald, on behalf of Will and our producer Joe and myself, thank you so much. It's been an absolute honor to talk to you. We wish you nothing but the best of health. We will keep in touch. Again, at DAJones19 on Twitter. Donald, thank you for taking the time out of your day to talk to us.
All right. Well, thank you for having me.
All right, Donald, would you be able to stand in line for a couple moments? We're just going to go out, and we're just going to close real quick, and then just a little bit of information we want to get from you.
Okay.
Outstanding.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns exclusively on morelikeradio.com. For Chris, Joe, Donald Jones, and myself, thank you for listening, and we are out of here.
They are who we thought they were.